Decorated in a style reminiscent of a Czech apartment from the 1960s, London's Lounge Bohemia is a cocktail bar with a twist. Each drink is served with its own colourful story, and many draw on scientific techniques, including, for instance, being turned into edible alcoholic cotton. Even the glasses look like something out of a mad professor's laboratory. Lounge Bohemia is every inch the creation of Czech Pavel Tvaroch, who's been running the basement bar for more than a decade. When we spoke there, I asked Pavel about its approach, which goes by the name molecular mixology.
We actually didn't really want to call it molecular mixology to start with. We were trying to use words manipulative or multisensory at some point, but then it kind of came easier to say molecular because at least some people do know what molecular cuisine is. It's essentially modernist cuisine. So effectively, in a nutshell, it's using different techniques of modernist cuisine and applying them in creation of a drink. So not all of the drinks are essentially drinkable, some of them are edible, and coming in various different forms, and the forms might even change as you try to consume it. So to give you an example, piña colada, which is classic cocktail, comes from Puerto Rico and it's been originally designed in 1952-54, because there are two bars, both claim ownership. It's just pineapple juice, Coco Lopez, which is cream of coconut, and rum mixed together, sort of frappéd and done as a drink. What we do exactly this thing, but we deep freeze it to minus 50. Then we dip it into coconut oil, which then hardens on the top of the sort of frozen ball of the piña colada. And then because the piña colada contains alcohol, the alcohol dissolves the liquid back, but the hardened coconut stays hard. So you had like a little bonbon, which is made out of a coconut. You pop it in your mouth, you bite into it, it cracks and turns back into a piña colada. Things like that.
Have you got a kind of signature drink here at the bar?
Yeah, about 44 of them. Every single one of them is sort of different, served with a different story, with a different service. And I can't really put my fingers on one and say this is the best one, because sometimes it's the oldest, sort of oldest or the newest one is the best one. It depends. It depends on the taste. Every customer, as every drink, is a different. Depends on the individual.
And how do you create new drinks? Is it a matter of research or trial and error?
It depends what they are part of. Effectively, we currently have on our menu four different groups, so to speak. One of them is mornings, so all the drinks are related somehow to morning's routine or breakfast. One of them is classics, which are classic cocktails but without twists onto them. One of them is based on the nature, and one of them is based on kids' stories, like a fairy tales. So the inspiration might come of any of those as a group. Inspiration might come from finding a new technique which could be applied to alcohol and then taking it from there. Finding a new vessel or essentially new service and trying to do so, or finding a new ingredient and trying to work with it, and something what comes out of the ingredient might be all like, yep, this is it. I'll give you an example with the ingredient. This is Szechuan button, which is a flower which grows in Brazil. If you eat that flower, you get exactly the same sensation as when, as a kid, we used to lick 9-volt batteries. So it's got that funny alkaline taste and it makes your tongue tingle. And by discovering that plant came a whole drink, which is called Edison, and it's served in a light bulb. It smells like energy drink, but there is no energy in it. And when you drink it, you actually don't drink it. You sort of consume it in a way that you sip a bit and you leave it on your tongue, and it gives you exactly the same sensation as licking a whole battery. So that just came from research of that one plant.
Do you have some kind of science background, or do you consult this stuff with somebody?
My approach is try and error. Try more and have a more errors than actually and fails than successes. I do time to time talk to my brother, who's a doctor, so if I want to use something what is not on the normal scale, but everything is drinkable, edible and safe to consume.
Do you use any Czech spirits in making your drinks?
We do. It's harder here in London, obviously, because of the accessibility. For example, Becherovka only does one of their kind here in the UK, but there are 5 on a Czech market, so that's the difference. So like one of the famous one is Becherovka cotton, which the drink looks like a cotton bud flower, but it's made out of Becherovka, and you take the cotton bud, plunk it out of the flower, put it in your tongue and let it essentially dissolved in your mouth, and gives you the Becherovka flavor.
You have a lot of kind of Czech design elements here. The chairs look like something you might see in a 60s or 70s apartment. The lamps, you have, I saw Rue de Pravo on the wall on the way in here. What is it about this Czech design that appeals to international customers?
To start with, the whole idea about the design itself was it was modeled on my grandma's living room, the bar, or the front of the bar, which is essentially not a bar. It's sort of just a place where we distribute our drinks, is made out of my grandma's living room. Most of the furniture are actually mid-century modern, either stuff from Denmark or from Czech or from America. Like all the lamps that you mentioned, they are American, they're classic design from 1953, and I do collect that sort of things. Some people do recognize different designers and appreciate it. Some people, for very bizarre reason, thinks it's got a Russian influence because they just can't see the difference in between Czech and Azbuka, and some people think it's IKEA, so take your pick.
Do you often get Czech customers coming in here?
Time to time, when there is an article or something written about me in Czech, also is quite a big following. When people do come to Czech, they do come to visit, but not really from locals. I mean, like, at the end of the day, we are not a Czech bar as per se. We do not have a Czech beer. What might be people sort of expect here, we are a bar which does specialize on, as you said, on molecular drinks, so that's what we do, so it's more for curious people rather than the Czechness side of it.
This bar is by appointment. People have to make a reservation to come here. Why did you adopt that approach when you opened the place?
The bar is not a bar, it's a lounge. It's in a name, and it's in your surrounding. As you have a look around, it basically is a lounge. It looks like someone's living room. And that was the original idea behind the bar. It wasn't the molecular stuff that came sort of about half a year, maybe a year later to opening, but the original idea was to make a very comfortable bar where people can sit down, relax. They don't have to shout at each other over a DJ. They don't have to have their drinks spilled on them as they're trying to get through the crowd back to their seats and finding out that the seat is already taken by someone else and then have an argument about it. It was all about making people as comfortable as possible. So they're coming in, they're greeted, seated, and getting full table service, which is quite unusual, or at least was quite unusual in the time when I was opening the bar 10 years ago. And in order to fulfill all of that, from a start, we were taking the bookings, but we're seating also people from the street. But then a problem occurred where people did not understand why we cannot sit them on an empty space. And we're saying, well, it's not empty. It's actually booked in 10 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever. Oh, well, can I sit there until the people come in? No, you can't, because I have nowhere to sit you. I forgot to tell you, well, the bar is non-standing. You have to be seated to be served due to the space and how we perceive the space and how we want the atmosphere to be here. And eventually, after having loads of negative feedback from our people, we decided it would be way, way easier if we just run it through as a non-standing, by appointment only bar. And it paid off, because those who do like the atmosphere and do appreciate it understand why we're doing it. And those who don't, we are in a Shoreditch Triangle, which is one of the busiest place in East London in terms of bar per square meter. So there's plenty of other spaces to go to. We can only sit maximum of 30 people, so I don't mind to turn people away and give their business to someone else if I cannot physically sit them in.
Also, I was reading that you don't allow people in here wearing suits, to which I would say, A, hats off, and B, why is that?
That's because, again, we are on a virtual border with the city of London, which is basically the Bankers Quarter, for people who don't know. And those people, I don't want to generalize or take any signs of anyone, but to me, they just didn't understand the concept, unfortunately. did not understand the lounge side of things, did not understand that they don't have to shout at each other or having a fight amongst each other, because we had only one fight here in the 10 years time, and it was amongst the people in the suits, which was in the first 3 months before we actually sort of enforced the non-suit policy. And that was it, really. That was the deal breaker. And we find out loads of people upload for us for that. Loads of people do find it funny. And those who essentially falls into that category and do get really angry and are asking us why, are effectively the proof in the pudding why we've made this policy. Those who would like to visit us and do wear a suit to work are more than welcome to change into their gym gear or anything else to that matter. Don't mind.
And tell us about your tasting menu. How does it work? How many drinks? That kind of thing.
Because the way how our drinks works, and as I said, because we use the different techniques of the modernist cuisine, some of the techniques are not applicable to larger quantities. But the drinks are still delicious, but will be quite weird to charge. You know, the price wouldn't make any difference, any sense, and it will be a bit weird. Actually, the original idea was, I came up with a concept of a drink, which took an hour to prepare. But the drink has to be served out within about 5 minutes of preparation, and after that it collapses and it's gone. In order to serve the drink, I wasn't able to put it on a menu and say to the customer, if they order it, well, now you have to wait for an hour. And I were not prepared to make it every half an hour, one of it, and take up the time for half an hour and then chuck every single or every third one away or something like that. So we came up with a tasting menu, which was essentially served for an hour, and the last drink was this drink. So as the people walk in, the last drink was starting to be prepared, and in meanwhile, they had a couple other drinks, and it made some sort of sense. It was a progress. I believe that first one was all based on a routine of a day. So you start with a breakfast, then you have some sort of snack, lunch, afternoon tea, and a dinner drink. People really, really like that concept of being able to try smaller things with a different, because every single one of the courses got a different technique and a different surprise and a different way how to consume it. So we thought, oh, it's like no one else does it. Let's try to do it. So then we did another menu, which was all based on history. And we took a different classic cocktails and turned them into different shapes and forms, and then we make another one. So currently on the menu we have 3 different themes. One is based on the travel through the history for 100 years. It's 6 courses and it takes you from 1860 to 1960. The second one is based on nature and will take you sort of through the walk through the woods. And the third one is based on a morning routine. So you wake up, you have your bubble bath, and you end up by having your coffee and an energy drink to walk on your day.